This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are getting ready for Thursday Night Football, Week 6 already in the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks and San Francisco 49ers will be kicking that off 7 o'clock right here on WWL in the Odyssey app. Also here in the casino, plenty of TV screens for your Thursday night action. Me and Mike here every Thursday getting you ready for the big game coming on. And next week we won't be here, though, Mike, because it'll be Denver Broncos and the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, and they got a pretty good line already. People putting up a few coins. They stopped me along the way, so I had to take a little pit stop, but they got a nice line here, so come on down and see us.
Yeah, you can get betting advice from Mike before you go over to the window.
You know, my deal is I ain't been too hot lately, so I don't know. You might want to bet against that, but we had the game, bar, and grill. Come on by and see us. We're here every Thursday. We won't be here next Thursday because of Thursday Night Football, but we'll be here every Thursday after that. And great food, drink specials here. We got about 16 TVs, and if you want to put a few nickels on a game that you like, you can go ahead and do it. And one of the things I wanted to bring up to Jordy, and I'm really interested in this, as LSU play Ole Miss, and now with Parker down with an injury, and you're not going to see Chris Hilton. I'd be really shocked if Chris Hilton played in this game. Is that do they go to more multiple tight end sets with this and try to use that size advantage with Tre'Davious Green and with Kay Pimpton? You know, both guys over 6 foot six. I know one thing, they don't have a defensive back linebacker that tall. And Garrett just put it up there. Hey, go get it. Go get it, make a play on it. Because if I'm going to rotate coverage to anybody, it's more likely going to be Kyron Lacy,
right?
Ole Miss will go after. And if I see that they're going to rotate it that much toward Kyron, Mason becomes a bigger play here, Mason Taylor at tight end. But, you got to get Kay Pimpton and you got to get Tre'Davious Green more involved because of that size advantage, especially short area red zone plays.
Overall, right now, Mike, what have you been thinking about Garrett Nussmeier's performance in the early
going? Outstanding.
You think that he's kind of boosting his draft stock some with folks?
Listen, I told him this in the summer. Him and I were laughing about it because, you know, his dad and I, we go back a few years with Doug. And, you know, he played here with the Saints for a little while. And then he became a coach. And he has sort of bounced around. Is the nomad life of being an assistant coach in college or pro football. He reminds me a lot of Baker. Not personality-wise.
Sure.
The way he plays.
Okay.
He moves a little bit left, a little bit right. Every once in a while, he'll run with it. Now, he's not noted as being a runner, but he's a much better athlete than people give him credit for.
Just enough to make you a little dangerous.
And, man, he is pinpoint with his passes. Mm. He likes that short, intermediate stuff. They haven't had Chris Hilton there to really open up the deep ball. He hit that one big play to Kyle Parker for a deep pass for a score. But, man, I'm impressed with Garrett. He's so smart. He knows where to go with the football. Is he going to make mistakes? Yeah. Come on. Yeah, nobody's perfect in this world. Especially when you're playing sports, they want you to be perfect, but it's not that way. But, man, he knows where to go with the football. And I think he also knows his strengths and his limitations as a player. Now, he can't run like Jaden, but nobody can.
Right, yeah.
But, man, his ability to kind of eat you up, and I brought this up yesterday, he's almost like a surgeon. Like he surgically can cut you and then cut you and then cut you. Man, all of a sudden you got a big wound coming on. And their offense has played so much better with Caden Durham at running back. And what he brings to the table, his speed element, his quickness element, his ability to one cut, bang, he hits it up the field, and he's downfield real well. With Caleb, he got too big. He went from 205 pounds to 230 pounds. It's almost like, man, you got too big for the position. You got to scale that back a little bit. Josh is still a good player. He's a really solid player. But and you see the talent in Caden Durham. And I think Brian said, enough's enough. Hey, I don't care if you're a freshman or not. Hey, kid, get in there. You got it now.
It's really been frustrating. You mentioned Chris Hilton not being, you know, expecting him. What's the deal with that ankle issue? He just can't seem to get back on the field, unfortunately.
And from what I heard, it may be a little bit of a setback with the rehab. So we'll see with Chris. Chris is talented. And
missing that speed factor for sure.
And talking to Garrett at Manning Camp, he had told me, you know, he brought up about Karin. He said, you know, the thing with Karin always talks about how he can play basketball. And Karin was a great basketball player. But he found out they got a lot of 6'2" basketball players. I saw him help Thibodaux High School win a state championship in basketball. But he really praised Chris Hilton and how well he has developed as a player. And, man, it's just sometimes injuries, man, it just get the best of you. And you see it here with Chris Hilton.
You mentioned injuries. We're going to go over the injury report for the Saints real quick, Mike. Not practicing today for the black and gold. Taysom Hill, Cesar Ruiz, Derek Carr, Lucas Patrick, Will Harris, Pete Werner, and Rashid Shaheed. Limited for the Saints, Peyton Turner, Alvin Kamara, and also, I'm sorry, Rashid Shaheed was limited. He did not practice yesterday, yeah. And Willie Gay was a full go, as was Kendra Miller. And we kind of talked about that in the 4 o'clock hour. Hopefully, Kendrick can get on the field and be a little bit of a relief for Alvin Kamara because, man, oh, man, he's just been getting worn down.
Okay, somewhere along the line, you got to make a decision here. If, you know, I don't know how much you trust Jamal Williams, but if you don't trust him, then you either got to elevate Jordan Mims,
right,
or you got to do something at running back. You can't keep running you know, Alvin and having that many touches as a runner and a receiver. In a 17-game season, he's not going to last. This is why you spent a third-round pick on Kendra Miller. You want him to be a production player. So far, he's been, you know, potential and a watching player.
A flash here and there.
Yeah, that's all he's been.
Some of our, you know, you check in the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Some folks have been chiming in. What about a guy like Leonard Fournette that's still on the free agent market? Obviously, still out there for a reason.
I want to see if Leonard's in shape, okay? you know, because the last time I saw Leonard, it looked like he was carrying a few extra pounds on him. But
too many trips to Krispy Kreme.
I don't know about all that. I do know he looked heavier than what I've seen him in the past. And so, you know, with Leonard, man, great college, unbelievable high school player. One of the most dynamic high school players I've ever seen in, say, 40 years. And then terrific player at LSU, had his moments in the NFL. But for you sure. Never know when it comes to an end. You know, man, Leonard was, he, I say this a lot, you worry about a little bit of thread off the tires, many touches as he's had as a runner. Is a reason why he's still unemployed? You know, it's not about money at this stage.
No, I think obviously everybody, you see that LSU connection, and people have hopes and dreams of reuniting a local kid back with, you know, the Saints program, maybe to close out the end of his career. But right now, obviously the Saints have a need there, but there's a reason, like you mentioned, Fournette is not with anybody. I know he spent a brief amount of time with the Buffalo Bills last year.
He was
year
on that practice much. Squad.
Yeah, and didn't end up doing anything.
And so, again, there's a reason he's not in the league right now.
Looking at this, we're going to take a break and be right back with more of Sports Talk. Going to get into the Ole Miss side of things with Eve Van Pelt, publisher of the Rebel Walk. When we get back, previewing the big matchup Saturday night in Death Valley, LSU Ole Miss, the Magnolia Bowl, kicking off 6:30 on WWL and the Odyssey app. Coming right back with more after this on Sports Talk.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Talk. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We have been breaking down the weekend's big matchups. Obviously, Saints and Buccaneers on Sunday, and then a big one in Death Valley with LSU hosting Ole Miss. To help us break that game down, Eve Van Pelt, publisher of the Rebel Walk, joins us now here on WWL. Eve, how you been doing?
Doing great. Really excited about this game this weekend.
Evelyn, glad to hear you're doing better. I know you had a little surgery and everything. That teach you a lesson. We're not getting younger, okay? The clock is spinning. And you can't push no Jeep, okay? You got to call AAA for that Jeep. You can't be pushing no Jeep around.
What was I thinking? I mean, that was just, I can promise you I won't do that again.
Well, I'm glad.
The crazy thing was my sister, who is 10 years younger than I am, hopped in the driver's seat and said, I'll steer, you push. And I did. So, yeah, never again.
To tell your sister, she's going to have to do the pushing next time on that.
Amen.
On offense, this is always a part of a peeve of mine, that when you lose a terrific player, Quinshon Judkins was that for Ole Miss. He was an outstanding running back. Now, I know that was the swirl of the tornado constantly around him once he made a name for himself. And maybe Ole Miss's best running back hasn't played because he's been suspended or, you know, he's not active, so to speak. That part of Ole Miss's game, which I always thought Lane was underrated at, because people always talk about how he throws the ball around, but he really wants to run the ball too, and it's not quite as good as we've seen it the last 2 years. Is it just my imagination? But it doesn't look as effective as it's been the last 2 years, and a lot of that has to do with personnel.
Absolutely. And you're right, and the player you're referring to is, I'm sure, is Ulysses Bentley IV. Things are going to get interesting this weekend because Ole Miss, you know, went and got Henry Parrish back to Ole Miss, and rejoining running back coach Kevin Smith, who had gone to Miami, and then Parrish followed him, and then Smith came back, and now Parrish is back. But the RB2 has been Matt Jones, a former walk-on. And, you know, Ulysses Bentley was relegated to RB3. And so a lot of folks have, you know, had a lot of speculation about that. But Matt Jones, I think, you know, I know he got injured against South Carolina. I would be surprised if he plays against LSU. So now it's going to get interesting. You've got Henry Parrish, and then what do you do after that?
Yeah, it's the list is real short to call the roll after that. Trey Harris, any news about potentially him not playing in this game? I know he left out pretty early last week against South Carolina. I've known Trey for a while, you know, because Trey was a Louisiana guy. And he was sort of on the B list for LSU, goes to Louisiana Tech, and was a good player there. He became a very good player at Ole Miss.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I know Lane told us, and you got to take Lane's injury reports with a grain of salt, you know, but he did tell us, because he doesn't like to talk about it, but Monday he told us if the game were Monday, Trey Harris would not be playing. So I tend to believe him on that. I don't know. I think it would be, you'd be hard pressed to see Trey Harris not at least try and play Saturday against LSU. So if he is out or limited, no doubt Ole Miss's passing attack is not the same. If he's good to go, then I think, you know, things will be a little bit different.
Eva, it has been money well spent, NIL money, on the improvements they've made on the defensive side of the football, and in particular up front. We're bringing in Prince and also Noel.
Oh, man. I tell you what, I think that to see the Ole Miss defense, and I'd have to go back, and I'd probably have to go back a long time to find it. But, I mean, for the Ole Miss defense to be stopping people the way they are, and that defensive front, you're right, Princely, Imani Allen. Now, I will say he did not play against South Carolina, and he may not play against LSU. But to see that, when is the last time you can recall the Ole Miss defense leading the league in rushing defense? They're only giving up 63 yards a game rushing. I don't know, you know, scoring defense, I think they're number three in the nation, maybe only giving up like an average of 7.5 points. So to me, it all starts up front. And I keep, you know, I sound like a broken record. When Ole Miss got just thumped by Georgia last year, and it was a thumping. They got beat. I mean, even Lane admitted, well, you had to admit it because it was obvious, on both sides of the line. And he just said, we don't look like those people. We've got to get bigger. And I think in the portal, he went and did that.
You look at this LSU offense coming into this game against the Ole Miss defense. Obviously, the Tigers' offensive line has been highly touted all year long. How is that pass rush of the Rebels going to stack up against this O-line? They're going to do some damage and maybe influence Nussmeier to get rid of the ball a lot sooner.
Well, you know, that's what's interesting to me. I mean, I feel like Nussmeier's getting rid of the ball fairly quickly. I saw something somewhere that said, you know, 2.5 seconds. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to get pressure on him. One thing I can tell you is Ole Miss has 5 defensive players with double-digit quarterback hurries. So that is going to be integral. I mean, I know those LSU tackles, I think the Ole Miss defensive players are tired of hearing, you know, all week the media has been talking to them about, you know, how outstanding the LSU tackles are. And so, you know, that's definitely going to be a challenge. I think while it may hurt them a little bit not to have Princely, I got to tell you, Suntarian Perkins looked really good against South Carolina, and it ended up being defensive player of the week for this week. So, but no doubt they're going to have to find a way to get to Nussmeier, or at least pressure him somewhat. And that's going to be a tall task with that offensive line.
Eva, I think one of the things last year was a shootout that ended unbelievably because Jaden Daniels threw a dart at the final play. I mean, it hit Chris Hilton in a bad spot. Right in the hands. He couldn't come up with it, but it was, if you just didn't have.
It was there.
right. Oh, it was more than there. if you didn't have a dog in the hunt, it was a great game to watch because of the ebb and the flow of the game. I don't know that we'll see that type of game. I think it'll be high scoring, but it can't be like that again. I think it may come down to special teams play. Give us a little rundown of the Ole Miss punting, kicking unit, and also the return games.
Well, I tell you, you know, to be honest, the Ole Miss punter, Frazier Messine, is very good. He hadn't had as much work, you know, as a lot of teams' punters because, you know, just Lane's system and his analytics and going for it. But speaking of that, Caden Davis, who is a transferred to Ole Miss last year, kicker from A&M, you know, bless his heart, he'd been hitting, you know, 60-yarders, you know, pregame, and then misses the 58-yarder against Kentucky that could have put that game into overtime. So I know he's just still sick over that. Really, really super kid. In the return game, I think, you know, Ole Miss has a lot of weapons back there. They used to, you know, use Jordan Watkins, and that always made me nervous. He's their slot receiver. And I'm like, we don't need anything happening to Jordan. But they've been using Micah Davis, and he's done a good job. I mean, to me, hang on to the ball. You know, I mean, that's the main thing is hang on to the ball, and he's done a good job with that. So I think, you know, Ole Miss is pretty strong in the special teams game.
One of the things to watch is Xavier Thomas, who has been a terrific return man. You got to see him play a lot. He was at Mississippi State before he transferred to LSU. And he has come close to breaking a couple. And so they're going to have to be careful in their return unit play. Because Van Thomas has really, really played well for LSU in the return game. He's given them something they haven't had in years as a real dynamic return man on punts.
Absolutely, and I was doing a little bit of research on him in my kind of scouting of LSU, and I didn't realize he ran the anchor leg on Louisiana's 5A, sixth place 4x100 relay team as a junior back in 2021. So, yeah, he is dynamic, and, yeah, I sure hope Ole Miss is able to account for him in some form or fashion, because you're right. I mean, Ole Miss really hasn't had, had really good coverage so far this season, and there hadn't really been anything where anybody's just broken loose for huge, huge gains on him. And, but I tell you what, if anybody were to, Xavien Thomas would definitely be my candidate.
Eve, is there anybody on this Ole Miss squad that we haven't really been talking about or may not be as familiar with that we should be worried about going into this matchup?
Well, I tell you what, I go back to, if Ulysses Bentley plays, then I think definitely he is a game changer. I think he's done well. He's played against LSU before. He's got a lot of experience. So if he plays, definitely him. I think that offensive line for Ole Miss is going to be key. They've got their left tackle, Jaden Williams, who was a freshman All-American a couple of years ago, and he is out injured. I do not expect to see him. And so Diego Pounds, a transfer from North Carolina, is playing left tackle. I think that's going to be really important for Ole Miss. They've got to be able to give Dart some time. So I think that he's one to look at. And then, you know, basically the entire secondary, we'll see how they do. I mean, Alabama transfer Trey Amos back in the secondary needs to have a big game.
He's another guy from Louisiana.
Trey. Yes, that's right. I just now realized that. That's right. As soon as I said that, definitely he is. So, man, a lot of talent coming out of the booth there. Yeah, I think he was from New Iberia, I think, if I'm correct.
One of the things with Jackson, and, you know, he's passed for over 70% passing percentage, but I saw the last couple games, and I'll get your thoughts on this. He's given up some easy throws underneath to try to hit the big play. Now, part of that is Lane, mm-hmm. the way he wants his offense run. And also the running element of Dart. Because, you know, you can have everything covered, and then all of a sudden he takes off running. He ain't no little bitty guy. I mean, he's a big man breaking downfield, and we saw it a year ago. Him make some key plays on third downs with his legs to get first down opportunities. So a little bit about his running skills, but I think the last couple games, he's maybe gotten a little bit greedy, especially in the Kentucky game, and I don't know if it was frustration, but he passed up 8-9 yard kind of easy completions to go for the deep ball. We saw it late in the game, him try that. Mm-hmm. So your thoughts on, he was so good early in the year, and everything worked. And in the last couple of weeks, maybe not quite as well when you're going up against SEC defenses.
Right, absolutely. And to your point, I mean, if you look at passes of 20-plus yards down the field, against South Carolina and Kentucky, he was only 3 for 17. So that kind of begs your question, you know, why are we passing up some of those mid-level passes and going for broke? And against Kentucky, Kentucky played three high safeties, and Ole Miss looked confused when Kentucky took away the deeper third of the field, I'll be honest. So, you know, part of it is that, you know, and you're right. I think a lot of that is Lane and his, you know, his system and what he wants to do. But also, thus far in 2024, Trey Harris has 64 targets. Now, you know, granted, he's got an 81% completion rate when targeted, so okay. But the next most target is Juice Wells, and he just has 30. So, you know, that's a big disparity there. And I think, you know, Ole Miss has been a little over-reliant on those explosive 20-plus yard plays. So, and to be honest, when Ole Miss has had the most success, it has been when Jackson has played more of a role in the ground game. So really good points. You're right.
Eve, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for all the inside info we got on Ole Miss. You can check out all of her work at she's the publisher of TheRebelWalk.com. If you're interested in this matchup, obviously against LSU or anything Ole Miss, check out her stuff there. Again, Eve, thank you so much.
Eve, don't be pushing no
so
Jeeps
much.
No more, and I'm glad you're better, gal.
I'm done. Thank you so much. I sure
call
appreciate
Mike, he'll get
it.
You out.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, listen, give me a call next time. I'll get you going. I'll get you
okay,
moving.
Okay, I sure appreciate it. Yeah. Take care.
All right. Awesome stuff. Eve Van Pelt, publisher of TheRebelWalk.com. We're going to take a break and be back with more sports talk. We are here at the Treasure Chest Casino getting ready for Thursday Night Football. Week 6 action getting underway tonight, folks. Be back right after this on WWL after the break. We were just talking about that big game Saturday night in Death Valley, Tiger fans. 4-1 LSU taking on 5-1 Ole Miss Saturday night. Death Valley coverage starts 2 o'clock right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. You can join Mike Dottiglia and Herb Tyler for the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. They're going to be live from the Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge, presented by MAP Construction. Always a great time with Mike and Herb. They got 16 surround sound TVs, drink specials, plus life's more fun with seafood, folks. Catch LSU's pregame at 4:30 with Chris Blair, Jacob Hester at 6:30, Tigers versus Rebels. 10 hours of exciting LSU football coverage. That's Saturday starting 2 p.m. on WWL and the free Odyssey app. And at least you got a night kickoff this week, Mike. Those early one starts got to be rough for those early mornings. I mean, when you're doing stuff 8, 9 a.m., it's like, oof.
Yeah, we do this 8 to 10 or 7 to 9. And then
you're not a coffee guy, right?
No. I got to drink something cool. it can't be coffee. And even cold coffee, I don't care for that. And then, bang, 11 o'clock kickoff. Man, I don't like them 11 o'clock kickoffs, but whatever. And then we roll it afterwards. We do the pregame and then the postgame. But me and Herb and Luke, we take care of business, so to speak. And Acme Oyster House is really like a little more than a mile from Tiger Stadium.
Stone's throw away.
Man. You know, if my leg was better than my knee, I could walk it. I used to walk it more than that, but not no more. I need me the four wheels.
Yeah, you need like a special golf cart to take you to the stadium there.
Well, I can get me somebody to bring me. It's to bring me back is the real issue. Anybody who's fought that traffic, ooh, Lord, after the game is quite a conundrum.
And obviously this year, 100 years of Tiger Stadium, pretty impressive. And we were kind of talking about a little off the air, Mike, just this is a golden age, you called it, of just LSU athletics represented in many different sports and different levels.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like this. You look at the athletics and Mondo, you know.
There you go, too, right? Another
you
one.
Know, and Vernon who from Morgan City, who I think he finished with a couple of medals in the Olympics. And LSU's track program is unbelievable, both women's and men's. You think about LSU women's basketball with Kim Mulkey and Angel Reese, that group has done. And then now she's building another team which could really be competitive. Jay Johnson, we've seen Paul Skeens, you know, and Dylan Cruz. And he's got another really, really talented team coming back this year. Can you put on an NFL game and is Joe Burrow, is Jaden Daniels, is Malik Nabers, you know, is Brian Thomas Jr., Jefferson, Chase. You can go on and on and on with the guys. It is really something to watch. Golf has also been a big part of the LSU athletics. My thing is LSU basketball better catch up.
Yes,
you know,
right.
Coach McMahon, he got to catch that up.
Well, they're working on it. Hopefully we get a better season from the Bayou Bengals on the basketball court this year. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll be closing things out here at the Treasure Chest Casino, getting ready for Thursday Night Football, Seattle versus San Fran, right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Taking a break. Be right back. Back here at our Thursday spot, the Treasure Chest Casino. Guys, looking at an update on the Twitter sphere, seeing 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey targeting to return in early November. That's per Ian Rappaport of the NFLnetwork.com.
Man, he got Achilles injuries on both sides, right, left and right.
I know he went to Germany recently, and obviously things didn't go so well there either.
No, I think they told him the bad news, right, with the Achilles. Charlie, you'd like this. The Atlanta Braves are really making some big changes on their coaching staff. Their hitting coach, they released Kevin Seitzer. Their assistant hitting coach, Bobby Mangalanes, and catching coach Sal Fasano. They all got released today by the Atlanta Braves. That goes to show you, even if you win, you don't win enough, you get unemployed.
I don't think I've ever seen a team that made the playoffs that had as much like complaining and whining as Braves fans this year. They hated watching that team. And, I mean, yes, they had injuries up and down the lineup. Like, Ronald Acuna missed basically the whole year. Same thing with Spencer Strider, two superstars. But at the same time, they made it to the postseason. Like, that's still an accomplishment. Obviously, the Braves are moving on from both of those guys. And, obviously, I think the fans are pretty happy about it, too.
Yeah, three assistant coaching changes and the hitting coaches. And so that goes to show you, you wonder a little bit, too, when things like that happen, if that don't come from the boss.
Right.
You know, the head man signs them mules every week, so to speak.
Looking at some of the action going on right now, gentlemen, we have the Guardians and Tigers tied up 2-2 apiece. That's the bottom of the sixth inning there. Detroit's leading that series 2-1. Then a 7:08 first pitch will be the New York Yankees and Kansas City Royals in that game. So plenty of MLB action and Thursday Night Football coming on this evening. I'll be tuned into both.
Man, Hoss must be happy. Because I saw James Madison, they had a 7-0 lead, but then bang, here come Coastal, and they just scored, and it looks like it's going to be 7-7. So he's going to be a little bit happy about that.
Had another great time here at the Treasure Chest.
Man, come on down and see us every Thursday.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.